Today's reading is from the book of Psalms. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You
may be seated. Well, today we have the privilege of having a special guest to help us kick off our summer study series, but also to participate in our worship services today. Reverend Jonathan Brake is with us. He is actually a native of Charlotte. It's a rare thing these days. We know that, but grew up in Charlotte. Was a charter member along with his parents at University City United Methodist. So he's been part of the United Methodist Church for a long, long time, involved in a youth group, an Eagle Scout, loves, obviously, the outdoors and God's creation. Went to undergraduate at Pfeiffer. Went to graduate school, pursuing that Master of Divinity, not in Durham. Some school over there, I don't know. Not in Atlanta, either. But in Kentucky at Asbury Theological Seminary there. So wonderful, was ordained in the United Methodist Church. He was part of the old system where my system, when I came through, is we were ordained initially as deacons and then we would be ordained elders. Now they don't do that anymore. They commission you as a provisional elder and then get ordained elder later on. So you were the last group going through as a deacon and then the elder track, like myself. Jonathan became one of the first earth keepers, and he'll tell you more about what that is, I'm sure. Well, earth keepers of Global Ministries, it's a program for laity and clergy who seeking to take care of God's creation, you know, in practical ways throughout the church. So he helped launch the Creation Care Ministry, or did launch the Creation Care Ministry here in our own conference, and then helped do that also kind of nationwide through the United Methodist Church. As well. He served on the Board of Global Missions there as the Environmental Sustainability Program Manager. That's a big title. Okay, good. Probably not a big salary, though. Right? Well, if you work in the church, you know what that's about. All right. Anyway, but he just recently began as a part-time at First United Methodist Church in Hickory, on staff there, and also leading the Echo Missions and Creation Care. He's our coordinator here in our conference as well. So we're honored to have you be a part of us, and again, to help kick off our summer study series following this service this morning. So we want to welcome Reverend Jonathan Brake today.
Thank you, Ken, for that introduction, and thank you, church, for the work that you're doing to listen to the list that Jesse was sharing with us about your work toward the Green Church Initiative. We've had several churches in the conference have become green churches, and you are well on your way to being one of the next here in the Western North Carolina Conference. I want to do a little shout out to Mark Casper. I know, Mark, I don't know if you're watching because you're on a mission trip, but Mark was one of those who I had the privilege of helping to train in the Earth Keepers program. I was one of the first Earth Keepers back in 2016 when the General Board of Global Ministries began a program of training laity and clergy to find ways to do practical ministry in their congregations or in their community or in their area that could bring together our faith and the care for God's creation. And so to do that project, you have to, or to do that training, it's really a project development. And so you bring an idea. And my idea was we need creation care ministry across our conference. And Mark's idea was to bring some of the initiatives that you have heard about this morning that you're witnessing and noticing. And I can tell you, having been in a church up here in the chancel area, when we went from those old lights to the LED lights, it makes a huge difference in the heat, in the temperature. And you can just tell that makes a difference in the electrical use in your congregation, both in sanctuaries, chapels, and everywhere else. But I also wanted to have a shout out to Lee and Lars Lippard. If you know them, they were my youth leaders at University City. So don't tell them that they're old, but they were my youth leaders way back when I was in high school. Great memories with them. As I begin my message this morning, I want to invite you to join with me for a moment as together we think about and imagine being in a special place. You can use your mind, you can use your heart, your memories. I want you to go with me to your special place in God's creation. Somewhere in nature where you feel closer to the Holy Spirit, closer to the reality of the world in which we live. Maybe it's a special place that you often like to go back to or wish you could more often. So if it's easier for you to imagine these things with your eyes closed, it is for me. I invite you, whether you're here in the room or if you're with us online, to close your eyes and imagine with me where your special place might be. Maybe you go right now to the beach, at the coast. Or maybe you're a mountain person. Where do you go to your special place? Perhaps it's a desert, a riverside, or even simply a city park. Where are you? Go there for a moment in your mind and your heart. And I want to ask you, what do you notice? What do you notice in this special place? How does the earth feel beneath your feet? Is it sand? Or rocks? Or the silt of a river? What's the air like around you? Is it cool or warm? Are there soft, light breezes? Or are you feeling ocean spray on your skin? In your special place, what's the air like around you? Now take a big, deep breath. What do you smell? What do you notice as the fragrance of flowers, the richness of the soil, a recent rainstorm? What do you smell in your special place where you connect with God's creation? Now in your mind, reach out and touch something in that space. Maybe you touch a sunbeam and you feel its life-giving warmth. Or maybe you touch a cresting wave as you bob up and over it. Or maybe you reach out and touch the branch of a bark and bark of a tree. Run your fingers along the leaves. Or the soft smoothness of driftwood that's washed up on the shore. What do you touch? What do you feel in God's special place in creation for you? I want you to open your ears in your special place and notice what you hear. Is it the soft coursing of a stream, a bubbling brook? Or the chirping of those melodies of songbirds that flit about over your head? What about splashes of fishes? Can you hear that? Or the scurrying feet of squirrels? What do you hear in your special place? And what can you taste? I'm not going to ask you to stick your tongue out right now, but in your special place, if you could taste something, what would it be? Wild berries? Salt water? Fresh caught fish? For dinner? In all of God's creation, why is this special location where you went to in this moment? Was it a childhood memory that draws you back? Was something special happened that marked a moment in your life in that space? Or maybe it was an encounter with the Holy One that you can never forget, no matter what. I want to posit an idea this morning that these are the things that are the blocks, maybe the building blocks of our lives and the paintbrush of our poets. I invite you to open your eyes. When Ken and I were talking about this morning and what your series is about and looking at influencers, I thought, how can I touch on influencers for caring for God's creation? And it occurred to me that the psalmists are the people who influence us back into those special places like we just went. I first thought about David. You know, King David, we hardly ever talk about him being an influencer to get us back in touch with God's creation. We think of so many different stories from King David's life. And then it occurred to me that he didn't write all of the Psalms. Sometimes we claim that, but we know that there were others who wrote in his name or who wrote under a different name. And so I thought, let's go with the psalmist who wrote the hymn book of our Bible and did so by their experience of connecting with God in and around our world. So today we'll look at the psalmists. We find a special connection with God in creation. I don't know about you, but I grew up, as you heard earlier, in scouting, out in the woods, going camping and backpacking, also in the church, coming into the sanctuary and seeing the beautiful stained glass and the images portrayed on the screen and connecting with other people in this space. And those two worlds seemed very much apart from one another. Sometimes we take for granted what's beyond these walls. We think we come in here for the holy space. And yet God made all of creation shot full of God's spirit, God's presence. And we can go nowhere without God already being there. And so as we heard just a moment ago in Psalm 19, that the world around us, all of creation, as we read in the New Testament, was the first book of God. The second book is the scriptures that we pick up and call the Bible. But the first book of God was the creation that was made to involve us, to invite us in, to teach us and to tell us things. And so in Psalm 19, it talks about how the world around us, all these great works of God, speak without a sound or a word. Their voice is never heard by us. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth, and their words to all of the world. So I want to tell you how that happened to me. When I was in Scouts, I was working on the Environmental Science Merit Badge. Sounds exciting, doesn't it? Did this at Boy Scout Camp, at Camp Grimes. Has anybody here ever been to Camp Grimes? Know where it's at? Okay, so you can imagine with me what it's like being in Camp Grimes. And one of the things we had to do for this Environmental Science Merit Badge was on three consecutive days, find a spot somewhere out in the woods, kind of like this, where we could go and spend a moment just sitting in God's creation. For 5 or 10 minutes, I was supposed to sit as still and as quiet as I could be. And then for the rest of the hour, with pen and paper, write down everything I noticed. Sort of what we just did when we went to your special place. I had to go out there in the woods in the morning, in the midday, and in the evening, and do this three times. I think I was about, 14, 15 years old, a teenager who had better things to do than sit alone in the middle of the woods for an hour each day and just write down what was going on, but I knew I could get this done and then turn it in for credit. So here I was sitting on my little camp stool. I didn't have a bench where I went, but I had a little camp stool that I came out and I folded open. I sat down and just stayed as quiet as I could. And I didn't realize that all these years of being in scouting, going camping, going hiking and backpacking, that when you go through the woods, when you go through a natural setting and you're making noise, and your feet are making noise, and the scouts with you, we were always making some kind of noise. We were told that would scare the snakes away. It would also scare other things away. We would hardly ever see a deer or maybe a couple of squirrels, but there were a few other things that we would see. And so what happened was when I went to that spot and I sat down and was as quiet and still as I could be, that I was no longer a threat to God's creation. And as I looked around, I began to notice after 10 minutes or so that God's creation started showing up to welcome me into their world, into their space, back into the creation that God had made all around me. And for so often I walked right through it or right past it and never paid a second's attention. An ant would crawl over my shoe. Some kind of flying insect would buzz by to check me out. What is this human being doing in our space? I would notice the way that the leaves would change sound when the breeze blew in a different direction. In that early morning sit there, I was just up from the lake, and I could look through the trees and see the fog as it just sort of lingered and swirled around over top of the lake. And I could imagine the fish underneath. I began to realize when I breathed in how sweet the fresh oxygen was all the way down into my lungs. It had just been produced, I don't know, a few seconds earlier, and I was breathing it in, a part of God's gift to me. And as the noonday sun was overhead, I would notice how the slants of light would come through the leaves and create little columns and shafts of light. And in the evening, the sun would come in from another direction, and there would be long shadows. And in each situation, different parts of God's creation showed up to say hello. And I wrote it down and pondered it in my heart. I was there to listen, to see, to touch and feel, to breathe it in, to recognize that I was not apart from God's creation, but I was a part of God's creation. Have you ever done that? If you do, how often do you enjoy the awe and the wonder of God's creation? Psalm 8 is attributed to David, one of those that we think he might have written. He was a shepherd, probably spent a lot of time out in creation, having experiences kind of like that. And what he discovered was written down in Psalm 8. He says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars that you have fixed in place, what is humanity that you should remember us? Or the son of Adam, that you should care for him, for humanity. You've made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and splendor. You've made them the Lord over all the works of your hands. You've placed everything under their feet, flocks and oxen, all of them, even the wild creatures of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish down in the sea. Whatever passes through the paths of the seas, O Yahweh our Lord, how majestic is your name." Where? In all the earth. David's calling us back to recognize God's wonder and God's beauty and God's calling to us to care for what God has given us. It's a large, heavy responsibility for us to be lords over the earth, because that doesn't mean we become autocrats, we become those who lord it over as in control and have power. We are called to take care of and steward God's creation, to help make sure that it is sustainable and interlocking with one another, with other pieces throughout all of our lives and for the generations to come. And so God has called us into that position to care for creation on behalf of the Creator himself. And in so doing, we discover that we are not made from or away from the earth. We are made from out of the earth, and we are a part of God's creation too. I challenge you sometime to go and find that quiet spot by a little pond, maybe even your backyard, somewhere just to spend 30 or 45 minutes just sitting still, noticing what's there, and realizing that we are a part of God's creation. And that when we do so, all the other earthlings show up to find out who we are and what we're about. Psalm 23, you know these words, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams." And the next one, Psalm 24, says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to him. For he laid the foundation on the seas and built it upon the ocean's depths." They're not just song lyrics in our Bible. These are reminders to us even today that David and the psalmist understood something that we have too often forgotten, and we're being called back and influenced to look again at what does it mean to be created, to be creatures, and to love God's creation. They're influencing us to stop, to notice, to breathe it in, to enter in, to become a part of, and rediscover our place in God's creation. I remember when our children were in school and I would get up in the early morning to drive them to school. Middle school, I don't know if it's still this way, middle school was always you got up before the sun and got ready. And the night before on this particular day, we had had those storms come through like we've been having the last couple of weeks. And in the morning, the moisture was so thick in the air, it's like we were walking out of the door into a cloud. And we got in the car, wishing we could go back in the house and pull the sheets up over our head and go back to sleep, but that wasn't gonna happen this morning. We got in the car, and we started through the neighborhood, and I remember turning onto the main road as we were getting ready to head over to the school. And as I did so, the fog was so thick that when the sun that was coming up right in front of us, sort of like the sunlight shining through these windows now, it turned all of that fog into a honey-colored golden gleam. And on either side of the road, it's sort of like in this picture here, were some large trees. We had oaks and maples and things. And the sunlight was coming straight towards us, and as it filtered through the leaves of these trees, it became almost like arms and fingers of light reaching out to take a hold of us. And because it had been raining the night before, the road surface was wet, and so as we looked forward, going down the road, all of this light streaming toward us in golden bands, the road itself lit up as if it was a golden street. My daughter and I both at the same time kind of went, we held our breath until finally she declared, "Dad, it's like we're driving right into heaven." These are the things the poets recognize. They try to put it into words and struggle with exactly how to convey what's going on. And sometimes I wonder, do they ever give up and say, you know what, you just had to be there? Have you ever been in one of those moments where God showed up through creation and you tried to tell it to your spouse or your best friend or your coworker, and they're just not really into it, and you realize there was a holy moment took place and you say, I guess you just had to be there. The psalmists are calling us to be there. When these things are happening around us, to open our eyes and our ears and our mouth and our nose and touch with our hands and notice with our heart that God is there in that moment, and that through God's creation, God still speaks to us. God still calls out to us, not with words, but with reality, and says, here I am. But how often do we walk right through it? How often do we look the other direction? How often do we have our heads buried in our devices and we miss what it is that God is doing all around us? You see, if we are going to be the caretakers of God's creation, if we are going to be the ones who watch over and look after and make sure that what God has made and put together on this earth for the healing of the nations, we are a part of making it whole and complete and not tearing it down. We'll talk more about that in Sunday school. But these are the moments that the artists and poets live for because they take our breath away. These are the moments that make us feel alive. These are the moments that only the creator of the universe can design. Don't give me anything AI, give me the real thing. What the creator can make for us. Moments that remind you who you are and how blessed we are to be here. David and the other psalmists, they captured these moments. And when we open the pages of Scripture and we turn to them, next time you do so, try to go to that special place they're describing and imagine being right there. What do you see with new eyes and hear with new ears and feel with a new heart? Let them influence you to rediscover God in everyday life. To not take for granted what God has done and continues to do, but to reconnect our body, soul, mind, and heart with who we were made to be. As I conclude this morning, I want to invite you to close your eyes one more time. And I'm going to share with you the words of Psalm 104. They won't be on the screen. I want you to hear them and imagine what's going on. I want you to go to this special place with the psalm writer. Oh Lord my God, how great you are. You are robed with honor and majesty. You are dressed in a robe of light. You stretch out the starry curtain of the heavens. You lay out the rafters of your home in the rain clouds. You make those clouds your chariot. You ride upon the wings of the wind. The winds are your messengers. Flames of fire are your servants. You place the world on its foundation so it would never be moved. You clothed the earth with floods of water, water that covered even the mountains. At your command, that water fled. The sound of your thunder, it hurried away. Mountains rose and valleys sank to the levels you decreed. Then you set a firm boundary for the seas so they would never again cover the earth. You make springs pour water into the ravines so streams gush down from the mountains. They provide water for all the animals. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds nest beside the streams and sing among the branches of the trees. You send rain on the mountains from your heavenly home, and you fill the earth with the fruit of your labor. You cause grass to grow for the livestock and plants for people to use. You allow them to produce food from the earth, wine to make them glad, olive oil to soothe their skin, and bread to give them strength. You made the moon to mark the seasons, and the sun knows when to set. You send the darkness, and it becomes night. When all the forest animals prowl about, then the young lions roar for their prey, stalking the food provided by God. At dawn, they slink back into their dens to rest. And then people go off to their work, where they labor until evening. They all depend on you to give them food as they need it. When you supply it, they gather it. You open your hand to feed them, and they are richly satisfied. But if you turn away from them, they panic. When you take away their breath, they die and turn again to dust. When you give them your breath, life is created, and you renew the face of the earth. So may the glory of the Lord continue forever. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God to my last breath. May all my thoughts be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. And all God's people said, Amen.